Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Welcome this morning. We've been talking about the thrill of hope, and hope does thrill us, but the question is, you got to experience it, right, to have some hope. And there's this famous quote, I don't know who said this, but I'm going to read it to you, and it goes like this, and it's about hope. It says, you can live 40 days without food, you can live 3 days without water, you can live 8 minutes without air, but you can't live more than a few minutes without hope. That's a pretty powerful statement. What do you think about that? Think people can live without hope? I think actually people live without hope all the time. There's a lot of people living without hope. And so, there's a big idea behind this statement here. And I think is what he's really saying is that a lot of people simply exist. There's a lot of people that live without hope. And when you're living without hope, you're existing, but you're not really getting what God wants for your life. So here's the good news about that, and it's the news about Christmas, is the Christmas story changes everything. It was God's ultimate gift to us to bring hope into the world. In fact, when Jesus grew up and began his ministry, he said these words in John 10:10. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And that statement is just power-packed because he used a word. When he said life, it was Zoe, the original Greek. And actually, it means not just duration of life, you know, like I'm going to live a long time, but it means dynamic, powerful, hopeful, joyful life. That's the kind of life that God wants us to have. In fact, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope, don't you love that? He is the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace and trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've been circling around a song, O Holy Night, a very super famous Christmas song, and it's really about the night of the birth of Christ. And so I'm going to read to you the verse that we've been using. It goes, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. We talked about that last week. A thrill of hope. And the weary world rejoices. So we're going to talk about that one, the thrill of hope and the weary world rejoices. So I guess the first question is, why is the world weary? And I think it's actually a pretty easy question to answer. The world is messed up. I mean, all you have to do is watch the news. All you have to do is look around. And like, here's the thing. If you don't think that the world is messed up, I just got to wonder what's going on with you. Like, are you like living in some little bubble, you know, insulated from the world? Or are you like smoking some really strong stuff? Because I'm telling you, everywhere we look, the world is messed up. And the Apostle Paul recognized this, you know, back in his day. And he wrote this in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. He says, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. I don't know if you ever feel that way. Sometimes my spirit just groans as I look around. He says, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait for it patiently and confidently. Hope is essential to have, but this is really what we're going to talk about today, but you got to hang on to it. And sometimes hope is hard to hang on to, depending on what's going on in your life. Have you ever tried to hang on to something, even maybe something tangible, and you felt like you were slipping, like you were just trying to hang on to it? When I was 15 years old, I had an experience that will always be with me. We used to live on a ranch when I was 15 in Gilroy. And about 2 miles down from our ranch, at the end of Redwood Retreat Road, there was a beautiful creek. It was called Yuba's Creek. And so in the summertime, I'd play in that creek, and I would fish in that creek. I'd get crawdads out of that creek, and it was one of my hangouts. And so one winter day, it had been storming for about 3 days straight, and the creek became literally, it looked like a river. It was just raging, white water and everything. And so I've always been an adventurous guy. So my 15-year-old self said, I'm going to go out and take my rubber raft, and we're going to go do some white water rafting. And so I talked my mom into driving me down to the end of the road. I dropped off at the bridge, and the plan was I was going to drop off at this bridge, and if several miles down, she was going to pick me up at this other bridge, and my plan I thought was going to be a great plan. So I jumped in, had my paddle, and, you know, sure enough, man, I've never done this before. And I go, this is amazing, you know. And there'd be, like, areas where I would just kind of be, you know, bubbling along, kind of having fun. And then there was areas where it was just white water, and I was having a great time. But right as I was coming up to the next bridge, I was probably maybe a quarter mile away from it, I noticed there was this huge bunch of logs and branches and everything, and it was stationed pretty much right in the middle. So I'm thinking, wow, I got to make sure I steer clear of this thing. But the problem was all the currents were coming right at it. And so as I'm approaching it, I mean, I am just frantically just like, yeah, you know, I'm paddling as hard as I can. It didn't work. I ran straight into it. And as soon as I hit it, and I was going fast when I hit it, it popped. And not only did it pop, immediately it got sucked under and it was sucking me under. And so I'm like this. I mean, if you can imagine, I'm like this. There's kind of a log branch and I'm hanging on for dear life. And I realized in that moment, if I let go, almost I'm going to drown, because it goes straight down into this huge conglomeration of branches and everything, and it's deep and it's muddy and I can't see down there. And I know if I let go and I go down there, it's going to be like the abyss. I'm never coming up. And so, I mean, I was adrenalized. I was hanging on for my dear life, and it wasn't like I just simply pulled myself up. It took me about 5 minutes, just inch by inch. I was pulled myself up, and this current is running, it's raging. I finally get up to about right here, and I'm already exhausted. And then pretty soon, I got my shoulders over that thing. And then slowly, I was able to pull myself up. And then when I got there, I was able to jump on top of all this wood and then make my way over to the bank. But it left an impression on me, like, wow. I mean, that's probably the hardest that I've ever held on to something. And I feel like there's probably a lot of people today, you know, they're going through stuff and they're hanging on to hope with everything that they have. Hope, remember we said this the first week, it's the distance between expectation and reality. And there's a lot of stuff going on between that. You know, our expectations are, I want this, but the reality is, man, I'm not there. I'm not experiencing that. So Christmas should give us hope. It should, but sometimes it doesn't. And I think sometimes what happens is we get into the Christmas, like, this is cool right back here, right? You know, the manger scene and the lights and everything, that's beautiful. But sometimes there's a disconnect between our real life and the beautiful Christmas story, and the disconnect is such that we really don't have hope. We just kind of go, well, this is a fun time of the year for the kids and maybe, you know, a couple of office parties or something like that. But other than that, I'm really not experiencing hope. Because sometimes what happens is, you know, life just happens. Life beats us down, and it leaves us disheartened, and we wait, right? We have delay, and like, I'm just waiting, and it's not happening. Or just sometimes just reality itself just wrecks us. After a while, it just hurts to hope. One of the ways that people deal with not experiencing hope is they basically just lower their expectations. You ever done that? You know, my mom, bless her soul, she passed away many years ago, but my mother was one of those people that just had lived a hard life, and as life went on, she just kind of went into this deeper and deeper depression, and so I was kind of her cheerleader. And whenever I saw mom, especially as an adult, I'd go, come on, mom, you can do it. You're going to do better. You're going to do better. But she'd say, no, not really. I mean, she just wasn't there. And her whole philosophy of life is, I'm never going to hope for anything, and then I'll never be disappointed. Let me just tell you something. That's not life. That's not what God wants for you. But you know what it takes to have hope? It takes faith, and it takes a lot of courage. Because we get knocked down, don't we? Like just about the time we started to hope, we just get knocked down again. So God doesn't want us to live that way. So here's how we're going to hold on to hope. How do I hold on to hope? First of all, if you're going to do it, you got to base your life on God's word, not on your wishes. Base your life on God's word, not on your wishes. So let's get to the Christmas story for a second. So Joseph, Mary, right? Here's this guy. He's just like you and me. He's a young guy. He's got dreams, ambitions. He's got a fiance, you know. He's looking forward to marriage. I can only imagine what's going through his mind. He's thinking, you know, we're going to get married. We're going to have a family. I'm a carpenter, so I hope I can expand my business. You know, hope everything goes good. And then there's a situation. And it begins with his fiance. And she informs him. She says, I got to tell you something. I was visited by an angel, and the angel told me that I'm going to be pregnant, and you're not the dad. And you can only imagine how this falls on his ears. Like, what? Like, everything that he's ever dreamed of is, as far as he's concerned, this is like, what are you talking? Now, so first of all, he's for sure not buying this. But then he gets visited by an angel. And the angel says, you know, Mary, your fiance, she's going to have a baby. And he gets, you know, so now he knows. But he's still wrecked because he's thinking, so I've got to go back to the community in Nazareth with my pregnant fiance, and we got to tell all these people that we were visited by an angel, and you know, the whole story, right? So he's wrecked in a certain way, and yet, at the same time, this interruption means something so incredible for his life. It literally means that he gets to be a part of history and the Christmas story, and that he gets to raise the Son of God. How cool is that? You know, tell me about your kid. Yeah, he's the Son of God. Been raising him for a while. Really good kid. Wow. Have you ever had your life interrupted by a situation? Maybe you had hopes and dreams and everything was just coming along, and then it just, like, what happened? Billy Graham, the great late evangelist, used to always say, God loves you and has a beautiful plan for your life. I don't know if you remember. I just loved when he ever said that. God loves you. He has a beautiful plan for your life. But I think we sort of changed that over the years, and we changed it to, God loves me and has a beautiful life for my plan. Did you get the difference there? It really does. And, you know, I don't think God's down on plans. In fact, I think everybody ought to have a plan. But we also ought to be open to a situation. We ought to be open to God saying, okay, I realize you got a plan. And most of the time, God actually blesses our plan. You know, you come into a relationship with Jesus and like, hey, I'm going to be an engineer, or I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to just, you know, do something I've always wanted to do. And that's beautiful. But once in a while, there's a situation. And as I was thinking, I was praying about this yesterday, I was thinking, I wonder, as I'm talking, if somebody in the room or somebody online is going to hear this, and right now there's a situation. And you're like, I don't know what to do about this because I had a plan. But there's a situation, it seems to be a God situation. There seems to be God intervention that's happening in my life right now. And I'm not quite sure what to do about this. So let me tell you what happened to me. Okay, when I was 19 years old, I had a plan. So I was headed over to San Jose State. I was going to run track on a scholarship. And I had it all mapped out. I was gonna graduate, and you know, athletics was gonna be my thing. They called it a PE major back in the day, And then I wanted to coach track on a big time level. So I was going to work my way up the ranks. The plan was I was hoping one day I could coach at a place like UCLA or USC or one of the major track colleges. Everything was going great until, you know, at 19, I also came into a relationship with Jesus, and that was awesome. And so I started really praying about this. A friend of mine talked me into going to this little Christian college before I headed over to San Jose State. And I said, well, okay, I'll give it a go. And I thought, well, while I'm here, I'm going to really invest my time with God and make sure I get everything squared away before I head over to state. And in that time, God just intervened and began to speak to me and just radically changed my plan. It was a huge interruption in my life. Because I felt like God was calling me in full-time vocational pastoral ministry, and I had never ever thought about it. It would never have crossed my mind. There was no pastoral people of any kind in my family, a lot of criminals, a lot of other things, drug dealers, prostitutes, you know, all part of the deal. But nobody in my family had ever been in ministry. And so I didn't know what to make of this. And so finally, after kind of, you know, wrestling with God for a while, I said, probably like a lot of people in that situation, like, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and I don't understand this, and this wasn't my plan, but I guess if it's your plan, I'll do it, you know. Well, I have to say, all these years later, things turned out pretty good. And I've lived an amazing life. I really have. It hasn't been a perfect life, and there have been some real ups and downs, and I might mention in one of those episodes a little bit later in this message. But just being open to the possibility that you have a plan, and you have hope in that plan, but God might just want to change your plan. And here's the thing. If God's going to change your plan, you should be excited. You should be excited. Because whatever that plan is going to be, it's going to be an amazing plan. So, how do I hold on to hope? In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." That's a beautiful word. We live by faith and not by sight. See, sometimes we just can't see it. Do you think Joseph saw it? Like, what? I just can't see it. Joseph knew Scripture, though. The Bible says that Joseph was a very righteous man, and this guy knew Scripture. And there was a scripture that I'm sure he knew, and that was Isaiah 7:14, and it said, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So, like, he knows that. He goes, this is going to be, I guess, the plan that I'm going to be a part of. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." So that's all part of that hope thing. We have faith and we have hope, but we can't always see it. Hope is, it's not a magic pill. It's not something we just say, well, yeah, I'm going to take the hope pill and I hope I feel better in the morning. It's actually, it requires sweat equity. It's like me hanging on to that branch going, I'm going to hang on to this thing, because if I don't hang on to this thing, I don't know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good. You got to hang on to hope. You know, Israel knew a lot about that. I don't know how many of you have read the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is largely about Israel and their experiences with God. And Israel, not just hundreds of years, generational thing, generation after generation after generation, waiting for this promised Messiah. So I'm just going to backtrack for a second and give you the very short abbreviated story of God and Israel, basically actually humanity, where this whole thing starts. So if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 3, everything is going good for this. In fact, mankind gets off to a fantastic start. You got the garden, you got Adam and Eve. They're having a wonderful time. It's in paradise, right? And then sin enters in. Man, you just get to the third chapter of the entire Bible, and sin enters into the scene. And of course, you know, Eve believes the snake, which is, you know, really Satan, and buys the lie, and then she talks her stupid husband into it. And so, you know, Adam buys into the lie, and then begins this whole thing of sin enters into the world. And so now we got a problem. Now we got a situation. And the situation is that if God, man is not rescued by sin, things are going to go really bad. And so right in chapter 3, verse 15, God says, "I'm going to crush the enemy under your feet." That's the first really good news that they hear after this, everything goes wrong. Chapter 12, God makes a promise to Abraham. So this guy Abraham comes on the scene, and God makes a promise. And he says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And then you go further into the Old Testament, and you go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. And God promised a redeemer through the house of David, and that a king would be born who would live forever. And then you get to the prophets in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God's with us, is with us. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So all those hundreds of years, can you imagine how the nation of Israel was trying to hang on to hope? That was a lot of history that was happening. There's all kinds of wars, there was, you know, the ups and downs, until they get to the Christmas story. We get to this, the manger scene and all that happening. But even then, they're not really sure that this is the real deal, because as you probably know, their expectation was for a different kind of Messiah. So they're hoping. But where they get credit is that they hoped and trusted in the Word of God. And that's what we have to do too. Not in our wishes, not always in our plans, but we have to trust in the Word of God. How do you hang on to hope? Secondly, you got to learn what God did in the past so I can have hope for what He will do in the future. I watched the most fascinating documentary. This was probably about a month ago. And there was a guy named Zeev Orenstein, and he's a director of City of David Foundation. And so he's in a place where they do all these archaeological digs right around Jerusalem. And he said things I had never heard this before. So he works with these very smart people, these archaeologists. They have all these degrees and everything. He's a Jewish man himself. He practices the Jewish faith. And he was, so all of the crew that he works with, he says most of them are not people of faith. He says most of them are agnostic or they're atheist. And ironically, he says they don't even believe in a guy named King David. And he said, and a lot of people until recently didn't believe, because, you know, we all, I'm assuming most of us, when we read the story of King David, we're like, well, of course he lived, and of course those stories are true. But these people are like, no, that's just a bunch of fairy tales. Until the last decade, as they're digging through, they found the real city of David. It wasn't where they thought it was. And suddenly they're pulling up all these artifacts about David. Not only about David, but all the other kings and all the prophets, and they're pulling, he said, it is blowing their mind. Because they're like, I guess this is true. You see, that's the kind of confidence we need to have in the Word of God. It actually is true. Now, if you don't believe it's true, it's going to be hard for you to hang on to hope, thinking, well, you know, I don't know if I really believe the Bible or not, but, you know, we'll give it a try. No, you have to actually believe it for it to be realized in your life. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. It's been said, and you've probably heard this before, that if you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat it. It's been said in different ways. And this is one of the reasons that I think it's so important not to try to erase history or rewrite it or revise it, like, you know, so much that you're probably aware is being done today. And I know people are like, no, we need to just like tear down the statues and we need to like just get rid of that history. Here's the thing, it's really true. I want it to always be there. You know, if you go to Germany and all that stuff that happened, the Holocaust and everything, they've left a lot of that stuff up. They go, we don't ever want to forget, so that we'll never ever repeat this horrible thing again. And that's why it's so important to read the history. Now, let me just tell you something. And when you get into, some of you, I don't know how much you've read the Old Testament. It's fascinating. It'll blow your mind. Because you're going to see the good, and there's some amazing, beautiful stories. And you're going to see the bad. There's a lot of that. And then you're going to see the downright ugly. And this is one of the reasons that I believe in the Bible. You know, I mean, if you're going to write a good story and you want to make people look good and you want to make God look good and everybody else, you're not going to say what happens. You know, all those things that happen, they really happen because they were actually true. But we want to learn. We want to learn. We want to learn from those who have gone before us so that we can learn through the things they've experienced. In Hebrews 6:19, it says this, we have hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. So God's faithfulness anchors our hope so that we truly are secure in His Word and in His promises. So let me ask you this question. I think this is a really important question to what we're talking about today. What are you anchoring your hope in today? Is it actually in God and His Word and His promises, like Israel did and like so many people did in those great stories? Or is it in your 401k? I'm hoping in my 401k. Friends, my friend, you better have good friends. Science, it's all about science. We're progressing. Is it the current political party in charge, or the next one, or the next one? Is it Bitcoin? Oh, I forgot, they went bankrupt. Is it a rebound in the economy? I mean, what is it really, at the end of the day, if you're really honest with yourself, what are you really hoping in? What are you banking your hope on? And what are you going to do if the bottom falls out? You ever been there before? You know, you think you hit bottom, but you didn't. Wow, I've been there before. And so let me tell you what I did. So, you know, God calls me to ministry and everything's humming along and I'm having a wonderful time and I'm a youth pastor and did a lot of years of, you know, had a few ups and downs, but life's pretty good. And when 30 years ago, I walked into a church and I was the lead pastor for the very first time, got voted in by the people, and it was like one of the greatest nights of my life, and like, yay, here we go. And right out of the gate, things started going wrong. When I say going wrong, I didn't realize it, but I had walked right into the middle of a church war, and I was caught in the crossfire. And it wasn't like a bad week or a bad month or a bad year. It was a bad 4.5 years of my life. And when I say bad, I mean to the point where I had to go get help. I mean, I was losing my marriage. I mean, I wasn't the dad that I wanted to be. I became an angry, angry person. I have never been that low in my entire life. And the question is, how would I climb out of that? How could I find hope in my life? And the only thing that I can tell you all these years later is that I hung on to hope in the promises of God in His Word. You know, that was the only way. And those old stories, you know, you read the stories of Noah and Moses, Abraham, you know, King David, some of those amazing stories. They're not just there for our entertainment. They are entertaining. But they're there so we can look and say, how did they get through it? How did Esther get through her situation? How did these people get through these terrible things and ordeals in their life? And you see, however it reads, whatever the story, at the end of the day, it was their faith. And they hung on to God. And they didn't give up. That's why it's important to anchor your soul in the hope of God and His Word and His promises. So, what do you do when you get tired of waiting? You put your hope in God. So, and really, sometimes that happens. We're like, I'm waiting, I'm hoping. And there's sometimes, where do we lose it? Maybe you've got one of those jobs and you're like, man, I hate my job. I've been in this job so long. Or maybe it's your career. And you're going, will I ever get out of this? Will I ever do something fulfilling in my life? Will I ever finish school? Here's another one. Will I ever get out of debt? Will I ever be able to have kids? Will my adult children return to God? There's a big one. I hear that one all the time. When will there be peace in our home? God, if we just had some peace in our home, that would be nice. And we hope, and we hope, and we hope. In Galatians 6:9, it says this. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, the problem for a lot of people is that just about when there's almost a breakthrough, right there, when they give up. And the problem with giving up, and a lot of, you know, there's been a few times in my life when I gave up and I... So you give up, and then you have to start over again. you give up and, you know, you it's kind of like, all right, and you've been there like, God, I have been trying so hard. And God, can you see how much I'm suffering? Can you see how much pain there is in my life? Can you see what I'm trying so hard. Then one day you wake up and you go, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to have a pity party. You ever had a pity party? You invite a few people to, you don't like it. You find that you're just all there by yourself. Usually it involves in some kind of self-indulgence, maybe wine and a bunch of ice cream and I don't know. Whatever it is that you do, you know. And then, you know, however long that lasts, you finally come out of it and you're like, now I feel worse than ever. And you might have just been so close to a breakthrough. You were just right there. And maybe you're there right now. Maybe some of you needed to hear this because this morning you just feel like you want to give up. You just feel like, I don't know if I can go another day like this. And there's parts of me that want to just go back to my old way of life. There's just parts of me that want to go, I'm just going to go do my own thing. I don't know if this thing is working or not. And you're so close to a breakthrough in your life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it says this, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. Now, he's talking about Jesus here. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God understands that when we get weary, he knows what it's like for us to have a bad day. Jesus obviously had a lot of bad days. That's what he's talking about here. You know, somebody has said, you've probably heard it, in the business world, or in the corporate world, they say hope is not a strategy. Maybe not in that world, but in the kingdom of God, it is. It's the best one you have. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in his promises. Don't give up. Keep on hanging on to hope. So let me leave you with this. Where in your life right now do you need hope this morning? Don't exclude God from that area of your life. Sometimes we do that. We go, oh, I don't think God would want to be that part of my life. I mean, I don't know. Would he even care? Yeah, he cares. He cares deeply. Whatever you care about, God cares about. Wherever you hurt, God's right there. So I want to ask you to invite God. Just invite him into that part of your life. Maybe you've never included him in that part of your life. And you know, maybe you're just like, you're lonely. And you're like, I've just been looking for somebody for a long time. Or maybe it is your career, and you're like, I'm just so unsatisfied that God could actually change all that. Maybe it is about somebody you've been praying for forever, and you're like, I just want them to know God. Hang on. Hang on. Don't give up. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you paved the way for us. That you came into this world. We call it the incarnation. You took on flesh. And all the things that we experience, all the temptations that we experience, all the frustrations that we experience, all the rejection, everything that we experience, you experienced that too. But you didn't give up, Lord, in the face of all kinds of opposition and imminent death and crucifixion. You never gave up. And so, Lord, help us today. If there's somebody that's listening right now and they just want to throw in the towel and give up, God, give them hope right now. Help them to know that your promises are true. Your word is true. You're with them. You're for them. I pray that in this moment they would reach out to you and know that you're right there. You are right there. And you want to help them through their difficult time. Thank you for the gift of Christmas and everything that it means in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.